This morning I'll be giving a talk, and it's based on Philippians 3 and verse 10. I'll just read it again from a slightly different translation. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing his sufferings. In this verse, Paul expresses a desire to know Christ deeply, sincerely, and intimately. As a consequence, he seeks to grow in two particular ways. Firstly, to better know the power of Christ's resurrection, and secondly, to truly know the fellowship of sharing Christ's sufferings. Paul is seeking a personal relationship with Christ. From Paul's writings, we know he already has a strong relationship with Christ. But in this verse, he states he wants to deepen that knowledge and friendship. Firstly, as he knows Christ better, Paul seeks to better know the power of the resurrection. But what does Paul mean by the power of the resurrection? Christ was raised from the dead. This is the resurrection, and it is a powerful display of God's transcendence and his supreme power. However, the power of Christ's resurrection is much more than the physical body coming back to life. The resurrection gives us a sure hope of what is to come. We read from Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Through the power of Christ's resurrection, we too can have eternal life just like Christ. Secondly, Paul's desire goes even further, to participate in Christ's sufferings. He wants to share in everything, including that which Christ endured. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, Paul states that God's Spirit gives us all we need to be victorious in the gospel without needing to fear suffering for Christ. And so we read, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." Paul has a great desire to be more and more like Christ in all he says, does, and thinks. He seeks to be as Christ in all things. When we're in a truly intimate relationship with someone, we endure what they endure and share in their suffering. To be in true fellowship with Christ requires us to share in Christ's pain and suffering. To be truly like Christ requires us to suffer for others, as Christ did. But notice that Paul calls us to be partners in his suffering. In fact, a little further on in Timothy, Paul warns us what to expect as suffering Christians. From 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. God calls us to share the life-saving gospel of Jesus Christ, leading us to others in eternal life with God. However, Paul warns us, just as Christ suffered for the gospel, so will we. History and current events have shown this to be true. In the earliest times of the church, the Christians suffered for sharing the gospel. In Acts 7, we read about the stoning of Stephen for teaching the truth about Jesus. And later in Acts, Paul himself was in chains and imprisoned. And today, we see Christians continue to be persecuted all around the world. Christians in Africa and Asia are being killed or imprisoned as they gather in their churches. And even in our own blessed, peaceful country, Christians are now labelled intolerant and bigoted for holding up and standing up for Christian beliefs and the biblical view of marriage. And for us, this is likely to be the tip of the iceberg. But there is hope in our suffering. The power of Christ's resurrection offers us eternal life with God, where there will be no more suffering or pain. Our suffering has a hope and a purpose. And furthermore, God hasn't left us to suffer alone during this time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 7, Paul calls God the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. Just as you share in our sufferings, you also share in our comfort. God has not left us alone to flounder in our sufferings. He provides for all our needs, even our need for comfort. So knowing all of this, desiring to know Christ, how do we respond to this? How do we get to know Christ more deeply and more intimately? How do we deepen any relationship? We spend time with a person. We build relationship through quality time and personal investment, such as giving the other person attention, listen and honestly sharing of ourselves. The more time and effort you put in, then the more you can truly get to know someone, to love and understand them. The true and meaningful relationship or friendship takes time and work. So to build an intimate relationship with Christ, we need to spend quality time with him, and we start by reading the Bible. This is how we can grow our knowledge of Christ, and one of the ways he speaks to us, and we can listen to him. The important thing is to not just read the Bible, but to listen as God speaks to us through his word. I make an effort to read the Bible regularly. My train ride to work is a good opportunity, and I used to get through 5 or more chapters at a time, until I realized I was choosing quantity over quality. I was focused on getting through the Bible instead of listening to what God was telling me. We need to read the Bible purposefully and meaningfully. For me, that meant slowing down, focusing, and learning what I'm reading. Now I might read the passage more than once. I now allow time to reflect on the passage, pray about it, and see new things and what I can learn and apply to God's word in my life. And next, we need to make sure that we're praying. If Christ is living with us and walking with us as our companion, then we need to be talking to him. God calls us to bring everything to him in prayer. He wants us to tell him everything openly, honestly, constantly, and without limits. As we meet with other Christians, this should also extend to praying in groups. We need to include Jesus in our group conversations, praying together as we fellowship. And this may be in prayer groups, Bible study groups, daily with our family, or just as we meet with Christian friends socially. And finally, we need to be sharing the gospel. If we are to live as godly Christians, then we need to be out there as Christians. We shouldn't be hiding away, afraid to speak. We should be freely professing our faith, knowing that there will be opposition and the possibility of suffering for what we believe. And we are able to do this, though, walking hand in hand with our living Saviour. As we read in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." The world needs to know the truth so that they too can have the same eternal life that only comes through Jesus. Christ died for us and was raised from the dead so that we can have eternal life. This is the power of the resurrection. The response is a desire to know Christ better and to be more like him. And we get to know Christ better by living in relationship with him, through a purposeful reading of the Bible and listening to God's word, by having a conversation with Jesus through prayer, and by living out the mission Christ called us to, preaching the gospel and making disciples of all nations.